I always talk about people, so don't get confused. I've got another friend, Alvin. Alvin is sitting beside Silas. Alvin, we met him in Oxford. The three old men were just walking around. Then we met a Singaporean. It's very interesting. It took an Australian to connect the Singaporeans. Sometimes when you go down there, you know, we all like, have you gone for seminars? Then sometimes you don't know whether to talk to people or not. And then it's the Australian man. Say, come, let me connect someone. I thought, who is it? And then it's he connecting us to the Singaporean. And then we talked. And because he said he's going to visit our church, I said, okay, I'll pay for your lunch. And then he's here today. So welcome. I'm always excited when people come. So as we come, let's listen to the Word of God and don't be distracted when people are coming in. I always tell people, let's have some grace. Sometimes we have noise and what have you. We make do. We just have to connect together. And I'm very excited to see Wing's friend who's from Myanmar. He's here and he's hoping to get an employment pass. I say you get employment pass. The employment pass, the definition is this. Employment pass means not only work for Wing, but must also come to church, must also go to sell. That's the definition of employment pass. You sure you want the employment pass? Okay, that's it. That means you don't only come and work in Singapore, but you come to the church of Singapore, you attend a cell in Singapore, then your life becomes full. Right, Win? It's a winsome life, no pun intended your name. But as we come, I want to understand that this church, there's vibrant life and everything. All right, come the rest, come have a seat. Just join us and we take it from here. For those who have just joined us, who have been going on the book of Nehemiah, I ask you to open your Bibles, whether your apps or you. We have been on Nehemiah chapters 1 and 2. We have already covered chapter 1, Nehemiah, and then we went on to chapter 2. We covered the first 10 verses, and then today I want to spend some time to talk about Nehemiah verses 11 all the way. So that's Nehemiah chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can scroll there, and that may be helpful to you. And let's take it from there. As we come to the book of Nehemiah, I want to also share some things with you. We made it quite clear that yes, last week, that when it comes to doing the work of God, some things are not easy to do. And in life, whenever we come before the Lord, we expect that when we do something for God, it is going to cost us something. And I made that very clear even as we shared last week, and I wanted to just emphasize on what we talked about today. Last week and today, we carry on with where we left off. We talk about the cup overflowing. That was the recurring theme in the book of Nehemiah, playing on the punt, so to speak, that Nehemiah is the cup bearer. But when we come before God, His grace, His whatever we need, it overflows into our life. The giftings, the blessings, we lack nothing. All right? Then suddenly a thought came to me, and if you can show the next slide, Philip, I wanted to show you this. The word is kam guan. When you think of kam guan, maybe you think of bak guan, right? No, I'm talking about kam guan. What does kam guan mean? If, for example, the Hokkien come to you, if you're not sure of the definition, later go to Philip, he's the best in Hokkien. What do you mean by kam guan? When we say kam guan, if I say I'm happy to do something, I kam guan. I'm prepared to do it even if it costs me a lot. And sometimes you'll say, kam guan, happy jiu ho. It's not Hokkien service, Alvin. You didn't come to the wrong service. But I tell people, if you're able to talk Hokkien and also quote people like John Lennox further down the slide, and you can cover philosophy and history and everything, your service is wonderful. It gives you that balanced life. Don't just talk the Bible, but also talk about current affairs. And if you are a Singaporean, be proud to be Singaporean. Kam guan is not a bak guan, but kam guan is if you are happy to do something, Max, not Max, why do I keep calling you Max, KM? If you're happy to do something, even if it costs you your life. That is what we want to talk about. Let me think with you and ask you a few questions. Let me start with this first question. First, like, who wants difficulty in your life? Winnie, in HSBC, Management Committee, do you want difficulty? I don't know, Chong Hin, whatever you're doing now, do you want difficulty? Lin, working in TCS, who wants difficulty? Raise your hand. Do you want difficulty? Last week, this person called Royston tried to raise her hand, and this Audrey. I don't think they know what they were talking. They knew what they were doing when they raised their hand. When I asked you, do you want difficulty? When they raised their hand, I suspect they meant they want challenges. Is there a difference between challenges and difficulty? There is. If you say you want a challenge, means that you want to be intellectually stimulated. You want to talk to people so that it's a very stimulating conversation. As I get older, I like to meet people who, when I talk to, that's why I like to meet Wing. You know why? Wing is an F1 person. So when I meet him, I ask everything about F1. He's got all the answers. He's like a walking encyclopedia. He's like the F1 vehicle on the road. I just talk, I know everything. But it's different if we talk about, do you want difficulty? I think nobody wants difficulty. Come on, hand to heart. Not Max Kim. You want difficulty? Are you a teacher? Do you want all the students to be difficult students? You are my son in your class. Do you want difficulty? I think the answer is no. Nobody in their right minds. Chong Hin, you want difficulty? No. Do you want challenges? Maybe. That is why people like this guy, Royston, he's going to run this 100 miles in US in 30 hours. Whereas Leon only run 10 kilometers, and that's good enough for him. Question, do you want difficulty? I think the answer is no, I want ease. So this is the conversation. Next question. In your experience, has doing something easy been worthwhile? Answer. How many people, I did something really easy. In fact, I didn't even have to lift a finger. I am so gratified. I feel the satisfaction. Owen? Or will you get satisfaction when you do something that is actually quite difficult? Answer. Can I submit to you, lawyer talk, that when you do something you experience, has something easy been worthwhile? Well, the answer is no, not very often, if not never. Is that okay? It is only when you do something difficult. Do you want difficulty? No, I want ease. In your experience, has something easy been worthwhile? Very well, no, not very often. Then the point is this. Then perhaps you really want something difficult in your life, isn't it? This is Jordan Peterson in his thinking when he writes. He says, then I suppose the secret to the reason for being itself is this. Difficult is necessary. Even if you don't like it, it is necessary. You need difficulty in your life. I was in TCS doing some work, and today the couple must come here. Lynn, I know for many years she was working in TCS. I told her we need to do some project, and we needed Alvin, go and check out this Ultimate Hawker Fest 2012. You see a Daniel go 10 years younger, but I still look the same. In doing the Ultimate Hawker Fest, I told Lynn, we are desperate. Can you help me? I remember Lynn went to call up cold call, and she called during lunchtime. She called up this company, I think it's called Steward Solution, during lunchtime and say, can you help with the charity event? And Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong, someone picked up the phone, I don't know who, and then to cut the long story short, they supplied all the structures for the food stalls that we needed. This is Steward Solution. They are the ones who do F1. If you do F1, you check out Steward Solutions, they've been there all the time. But it was a difficult task. It was so difficult that on the day itself, I remember Lynn also maybe on that day, so physically a bit marble. Husband can confirm? You confirm, right? The best part is still come church today. And I remember, I don't know why you're here today, but I can confirm. Witness, please confirm. Cross-examination now. Can you also confirm that you must have told someone, this Daniel Goh, only do this kind of impossible things. Correct? Something to the effect. I tell you that when you think about your life, it is those things that you do that have some, if not considerable, degree of difficulty. Those are the things that stick in your mind, not the things that cost you nothing. Is that okay? So when we talk about Nehemiah trying to build the walls and gates, he was dealing with considerable difficulty. But guess what? He kam guan, he will do it. Abraham. If you go to Genesis 12:1, I have no slides for you for Abraham, but Abraham is, we call the father of nations, right? Question, when did he leave his father before he started doing what God asked him to do? Can I tell you when? Anybody? When did Abraham leave? 13 years old? 14 years old? Number? Anybody knows your Bible? Here we have our children having a Bible quiz today, right? What's the answer? 75 is down there somewhere. I even didn't know. Philip, why you go and pitch out lobang, show the slide for what? The answer is 75. Hey, friends, at 75, then you leave your father. Even in those times, 75 is lao kok kok already, you know. So can I suggest to you that Abraham is a bit of a Peter Pan? He only left very late, but actually, he only left when he was called, but he was called very late. Some of us are, how many above 75 here? Don't have. The closest is Silas, 57. You switch the number only. But that's 18 years difference. Wang is still sprightly young like a spring chicken. Wang is 60 what? 60. Very young. But Abraham was called at 75, that Peter Pan, when he left, he was asked to do God's work. God at 12:1 says, you will leave and you will go and you will go somewhere. No, God didn't tell him where he was going. God just said, leave. God didn't tell him, you will win, you will go, you will go to Singapore. When you go to Singapore, you find this Wayne guy who's 60 years old. He's the F1 champion. You go to him, you start this company with him called Win 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 Company. And then after that, you get E-Pass, you earn X thousand. And then you come to this Daniel Goh guy who keeps buggering you to attend church and sell. No such thing. Abraham was just told to go, and he went in faith. Was it difficult? I tell you, it was very difficult. When Abraham said yes at 75, not a sprightly spring chicken, what did he go through? He went through famine. He went through tyranny in Egypt. There's a potential law for his wife, remember? Was it Sarah? He had to even think of sacrificing the wife. You know, there were some people looking at the wife. More powerful men were actually looking at the wife. There was exile from his adopted country. There were conflicts over territory with kinsmen. There was war. There's the kidnapping of his nephew. There was extended childlessness. Remember, Abraham only had the son when? How old? Now the answer is not in the slide. How old did, when was it Isaac? How old was Sarah at the time? Close to 100? 75? 25 years later, then he had his own flesh and blood. But along the way, he had trouble, my friend. Famine, tyranny, exile, conflicts, extended childlessness, difficult, terrible conflict within his spouses. It was not funny. And now we have a slide from this person who those who in Oxford may remember. We talk about this book. This guy, Shireen. This guy is the guy who say we humans are algorithms. He wrote this book. His name is Yuval Noah Harari. If you want to know what this whole book is about, talk to Elvin. Apparently, Elvin had the patience to read the whole entire book. If I read halfway, I would have fallen asleep. And it was all littered with things that were factually or perhaps incorrect. You can read it for yourself. But this is what he said. He found that war is obsolete. He wrote this book, I don't know when, 2014, 20-something, maybe about 10 years ago. He says, war is obsolete. You're more likely to commit suicide than be killed in conflict. That's his finding. Number two, he says, famine is disappearing. You're more at risk from obesity than starvation. Number three, he says, death is now just a technical problem. Do we have war now as we speak? We know the answer. Do we also have famine? We also know the answer. Is death just a technical problem? I hope not, because we are not digits or algorithms. Is he correct on all three fronts? You tell me the answer. And this is the guy who says we human beings are just a digit. What you say, if I said something 5 years ago, I say something and 5 years later I'm proven to be right or wrong, that tells me a bit about how God is dealing with you in your life, right, to some extent. If when I dare to tell you something, in 3 years' time, I think God is telling me to do this, and in 3 years' time, I'm far from doing it. In fact, instead of going down north, I went south. Does it tell you something? This guy, no judgment, he said war is obsolete. Now we have the war that everybody talks about, affecting all of us. Famine is disappearing. We see that food is in shortage all over the place. Abraham. Exceptional difficulties, insuperable obstacles, obstructed paths. But he was called by God at 75, a bit of a Peter Pan. He went anyway. And he did the work of God. And he's called the Father of Nations. Without him, we don't and won't be where we are today. As a result, next slide. The opportunity avails for you to reveal yourself as much stronger and more competent than you might imagine. This is what happened to Abraham when he did what he had to do in Genesis 12. Who are we? And Shireen said, well, I'm really glad that you talked about it last week. Genesis 1:27. People like Nehemiah, people like Abraham, people like us, who are we? So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And all of us have this discussion nowadays with 377A and all these things. Sex and gender seems to have been conflated and people talk about it. But if you look at the Word of God, it says here very clearly, God created mankind in his own image. There are only two, male, female. But should you not think that there are also some biological complexities? There are some people, I won't say in between, but if you look at the Word of God, I think it was Sam Elbury, another Oxford guy. I remember him saying, I think it's in Matthew 19, 4 and 5, which paraphrase Genesis 1, 27. I think it's in Matthew 19, verse 10. He goes on to say, men and women, but there are also some who are eunuchs. What does it tell you? That the Word of God already tells you that, yes, there's men and women, but there are some eunuchs. There are some biological complexities. There are some people, not that they're in between, but there are people who may have some problems with the biology of their life, of their bodies, which is fair, but like it or not, it doesn't change the fact that we are either male or female. There's nothing else. I remember also in Oxford, one of the lecturers, can't remember a lady, she was saying that her child goes to a camp in the morning, then they'll introduce each other, then they'll say, what pronoun you can use on me? Pronoun. So Lin will sit down. Lin, imagine you were 50 years before, Jong-in or so, now 60-something, 50 years ago. Sit down there, I am a he, and then you say I'm a she, and then Winnie say I'm a it. And every morning they keep doing it and talk about the pronouns. After a while, until the children say, the first, can we stop this? What's the point? You're either male or female. Do we have an option to change our sex? Is this something we want to do? Last week, what did you talk about? We are made in the image of God, but not God. God made us male or female. That's what the Word of God says. But if you start dabbling and you think that you want to be God, isn't that the beginning of downfall in Genesis 3? And therefore, we have the problem that we have now. Because human beings want to be like God. That's a problem. When we will never be like God. We are made in His image, but we will not be God. I don't suggest we be God. We be His beings, made by Him, created by Him. What you should do is that you should be like Him and therefore understand that in next slide, you have the ability to think, feel, and create just as God does. Now, that is what you want. Don't go and be God. That's not your problem. Your job is to know that because you're made in the image of God, you have the ability to think, feel, and create just as God does. That's what John Lennox said in Oxford. Today's revision time for Elvin. 2 weeks ago, you heard this. Silas, remember this? That's exactly what he said. And that's stuck in my mind. All of us, Winnie, Lin, Chong-in, Max's father, you have the ability to think, feel, and create just as God does. That should give you the encouragement. How many times when I sit down there, when I think of something, when I'm stuck in my mind, I say, God, can you help me? And then suddenly a thought comes and there's an uncluttering effect. Have you had that before? If you've not had that, keep asking God to give. Have you had doing mathematical, I don't know, in exams or sometimes you do something, you know you're wrong. And then, you know, are you a maths teacher? When you do something wrong, you don't keep doing the wrong thing, you know. Already wrong, you better start again, right? Some people don't want to keep going the wrong path. Hey, stop, turn back, and then God, tell me, teach me. And then God unclutters. My favorite time, Max's father, you know when? When I bathe, I must have hot water. When I have hot water, when I bathe, something happens. It's like God speaks to me in my bathroom. So my bathe time is very precious. Nobody disturbs me when I bathe. When I bathe, actually, I'm talking to God. And then when I bathe, then it's like, thoughts come. And then the things I forget, right? I remember. I remember Chris Trow. Actually, I should do this. Then I'll have to come out and then type on my iPhone, which is waterproof. And then I wave again. Then when I come out again. So in that sense, I'm disturbed. But I kam guan. It's God speaking to me. But we have the ability to think, to feel, and create just as God does. Why? Because we are made in His image. If you have that in your spirit, you can do anything that God wants you to do. use your brain. Gurmit Singh will say, use your brain, use your brain, use your brain. Use your brain to think, to feel, and to create. Remember last week, I didn't plan this, no, guys. Instead, in case Elvin said, wow, my goodness, Oxford 2 weeks again. I didn't plan this. This came about because Lynette, last week, I also didn't plan her. She started to talk about science and art. She said she's more science than art, remember? She said she's more science than art. Some of us, if not all of us like that, science is the left side. What does left side of the brain do? Left side gives you apprehension. It takes apart things to understand. So when you are doing the left side of your brain, you are asking the what of something. On the right side, you have the comprehension. It integrates things to understand the why. So the left tells you the what. The right side of the brain tells you the why. The left, next slide please, Philip. The left manipulates the world. The right understands the world. The left side and right side of the brain. The left categorizes, analyzes, do all the data analysis, but the right side helps to form relationship with others. Which is why there's a cue for me to talk about 13 August. We want to invite, and if God calls you to come and visit us again, come again. It's not a bribe, but we're going to serve food. So after service on 13 August, Win, please come again. We will have food, and we are favor of God. Joe tells me you can even come here to eat. So people like Brian, please come and finish all the food. You are so young. People like TG don't eat so much. Wing, stop eating so much already. We eat less, let the children finish all the food, but we have an opportunity to eat here, all the food be catered here. We need to form relationships. We need the right side of the brain to work. We need to go to seminars and talk to people, not to have so funny an Australian connecting a Singaporean to a Singaporean. But when we come together, the right side of the brain needs to work more. Can I suggest to you that when we, next slide please, when we have left side of the brain, Philip, thank you, the next slide. When we deal with the left side of the brain, what do? The left side of the brain, we know things as objects. That's the science part. Is that okay? Knows things as objects, but we objectify things. And sometimes we can also objectify in such a word, human beings, right? I treat you as a digit. I treat you as an object. But the right side of the brain knows people as subjects, which is why we always talk about something that is subjective and objective, right? Subjective means it's very factual, depends on the person and circumstances, right? Whereas objective is based on data. Science. Next slide, please. Is it more left or right brain? Answer? Left. And John Lennox also says, he concludes, we are using more of our left rather than the right brain. That's why we have the problems we have. Everything is very data-driven. Now, Sharon, show me the data. Just show me the data. Don't talk so much. Don't talk about how you feel. Just show me the data. If we keep doing that, what do we do? We're losing to that extent that humanness that God put us, that the image of God that is in us, right? God created us male and female. He also gave us the ability to think, the ability to create, the ability to feel like Him. But if we just use our left side of the brain, we got a problem. We all become scientists. We just mine information. We become cryptos. And there's no relationships. Can you imagine Winnie is, no need. I can work from home. I don't need to see the 50 people under me. Just show me the data. No need to meet. Some people were very happy to meet, like, to work like that. I cannot. I will make sure that my staff in my law firm come and meet me every at least 40% of a week. Meet me Tuesday, Thursday, because I need to see Royston, so how are you doing? This one. So if I want to score Royston, say, I score Royston face to face. Then see whether whatever I'm telling him, he's absorbing. I can't see it when I'm doing Zoom. I can't see it when I'm talking to you on WhatsApp. I need to see Shireen, are you doing okay? Eyeball to eyeball. Please don't lose human touch. If we lose human touch, we're not human. Then what's the point? That's why we need to come and meet physically in a church. Then you build relationships. Then when we have dinners together, we build relationships. We make it conducive. I told Leon on the day, 13 August, some pipe in music, please. So that when we eat, we enjoy the relationship. We connect with each other. Science. This is someone that I read very often too. I respect this man, the late Lord Jonathan Sacks. He says, this is interesting, right? Science takes things apart to see how they work, but religion puts things together to see what they mean. Very chim, right? Does it make sense to you? Science takes things apart to see how they work. You want to know something, right? How does the F1 car work? What do? Strip, lah. Oh, this is why your parents are saying, da-da-da-da. I understand all that. But when you talk about faith or religion, it puts things together so there's meaning. Next slide. What part of the brain are you using? Are you just every day just left? Please don't get out there and hear or think I'm saying, therefore, just use the right side. Some people just use right side. Have you got friends who only use the right side? Oh, sharing income. Oh, but that's all fluff. But can we have the balance so that we use the left and right side? That is a good image of God, isn't it? The left and the right side. And in case you think I'm still not talking about Nehemiah, can I suggest to you, Nehemiah, when he embarks on it, and when Silas takes on to talk about next week, chapter 3, I think chapter 3, a lot about teamwork, man. You've got to start working with people to build the walls. But when we come together, next slide, please. What do we do? Nehemiah was going to use his left side of the brain and the right side. Why does he need the left side? He was going to build walls and gates. And he's working with people who are actually not the professionals. No, notice something. When Nehemiah left from Susa, the winter capital of the Persian kingdom, to go to Jerusalem, he did not ask for all the experts. He only asked for timber. He only asked for materials. The cavalry were to go there. People like Colonel Royston just to accompany for protection purposes. Once he reached there, he was going to work with the people, the farmers and the people in Jerusalem to build Jerusalem. Are you with me? He was going to work with the homegrown talent. He was going to have to talk to them about science, the left side of the brain. How do you build the walls and gates? But on the right side, he was going to also challenge them. How do you challenge someone? Hey, Winnie, I challenge you. This statistic, that statistic. Is it the way you challenge people? Oh, Winnie, how are you doing? Oh, I heard your dog died. Can I go for the dog's funeral? Do you need anything else? Can I send Lin? Lin is a good help of mine. She's a dog trainer. Can I train the next dog? Then you come one to do the work you do, because the right side of the brain is connected with the human beings. If we don't get this right, we become database. We become digits. We become what the writer say, algorithm. We are not. We are made to conform the image of God. Even your thumbprint is different from anyone else. There's no one else like you. Thank goodness there's no one else like me. I can't imagine a Daniel Goh. Can't imagine. Can you imagine your cell group is all 10 lawyers? How boring. But all of us are made different by God. Next slide. Human intelligence is not machine intelligence. Machine intelligence is modeled on serial procedures so typical of the left hemisphere. Something's in court nowadays with artificial intelligence. So, for example, if you press something, they'll work out something and say, okay, if you have these injuries, whatever, under this court system, you get this amount. This is just a ballpark. So, for example, if you do this, we can calculate, and then maybe we use a formula, and using this formula, if you have a divorce, maybe husband get this, wife get this. That's fine, right? That's fine. This is just a basic entry level of trying to put information out there so that people know what their rights are if you have a legal dispute. But ultimately, end of the day, I would like to think there's still an overarching someone who will put something in terms of the human element to that AI solution, so that things, there's an overarching someone, a human applying the wisdom and intelligence to that machine intelligence, imputed information, and make sense out of any settlement of a legal case. Are you following me? So we cannot just let machine intelligence, oh, this machine say, Lin, the two of you, or you're fighting, okay, press this button, you get 40,000, you get 100. But how about we consider the fact that Lin was the one who looked after the two daughters and then had to do more, and she sacrificed her career, blah, 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 and then we infect. You following me? It cannot be that anything that we do, we don't talk about the human relationships, we just be stone-cold database-driven. That is not what God made us to be. What's our goal in life? Next slide, please. Happiness. Again, 2 weeks ago, I don't know why I saw, I think it was it Owen who gave a balloon about joy and happiness, the balloon. It didn't strike me until, that's why today,
You got Hokkien, you got Chinese, you got John Lennox. I'm covering everything, man. Happiness is something right now. Make hay while the sun shines. Sorry, the typo, sun and shine should be different words. Right now, you make hay while the sun shines. Or do you look for joy? I didn't know this, and I think it makes a difference. For those of you who know Mandarin, if not today, you will know. Happiness is what? Kuai le, right? The word is kuai. Kuai means what? Now lah. What happy jiu ho lo? Have you talked to people? What happy ma? What song ma? What is that? I feel like doing that. I feel like smoking. What happy ma? On the spot, I like it. I happy, I do. That is kuai le. Kuai, fast. Win. Chinese, ah, kuai, fast. Don't know Chinese later, talk to Philip, he's the expert down there. Kuai le, very fast. But if you're talking about joy, is, 对吗? 喜乐. That's why I say I like Mandarin. Once you change one word, the whole thing changes, right? Huh, Silas? 快乐,喜乐. Kuai, happiness. If Abraham or Nehemiah was looking for a quick fix, they would have never, none of us will do a lot of things if we are just focused on happiness. Do they happy? Why? Because Keppel Corp yesterday went up $9.50. Tomorrow not happy. Why? Because your Apple share dropped from $162 to $142. Is that what it's going to be? Or is it joy? What are we motivated by? When we do the work of God, and later I'll talk a bit about it, please expect opposition. If God gives you a vision, and later I'll talk about it, but when you do something for God, if there's no opposition, you better ask yourself, how come no opposition? Something is wrong. Gan, if we go Oxford and then there's no opposition, everything soon, better ask yourself, how come everything is okay? How come Silas never asked for coffee in some far way? How come we don't have to do this, do that? Something is wrong because it's too smooth. When you go and fight a war, Royston, when everything is so smooth, like nobody fighting you, aren't you scared? It's macam you got ambush coming, correct? You're going to be shot. You're just waiting to be shot. Watch your backside. They're going to come after you. You should be very afraid if things are, everything is hunky-dory, no problems. I'm not asking for trouble. But even when, if you don't ask for trouble, there will be trouble anyway. Nehemiah, chapter 2. He found a place. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, heard God, prayed for 120 days, went over there, 4 months later, had a chance to speak to the king, took the chance, the king will say, I will not allow you to go. In fact, Ezra 4 already tells you, the king already stopped the work before. It's like a construction activity, there was a stop work. He's asking for a second time. He took a very great risk, because if the king wasn't happy, his head would be chopped off. He went in there quite smart. The queen was there, softened the tempo a bit. The queen was there, a bit of a favor. He got what he wanted, timber. He got even the cavalry to go. He lands in Jerusalem. By the time from the time God started talking to him in Nehemiah chapter 1, okay, whereby his brother came back and reported what was happening in Jerusalem, till the time he reached Jerusalem, it was easily 7 months. Can I suggest to you? Easily 7 months. And when he reached Jerusalem after 7 months and after that long trip from Susa to Jerusalem, you would have expected him, wow, here I am, God tell me, better start work. What do? You will go immediately. If I were him, meaning the way I was, I say, let's go. He didn't. He spent 3 days to inspect. Next slide. He inspected the dung gate. He inspected dung gate. You think he's happy inspecting the dung gate? The dung gate is the place whereby you have all the sewage, everything. He went there. And when he went there, he didn't tell anybody. In the first 3 days, he went to do inspection. He was not happy doing it, I don't think. But he needed to do it anyway. He did it in the dark of the night. He didn't go with fanfare. He didn't say, Colonel Royston, get the whole cavalry, come with me. I point here, you go there, clear the shit for me, whatever. He come guan kana sai. He will do it himself, and he was going to inspect, because after this, he was going to cast the vision. He knew all that he needed to know. The devil, next slide please, is in the details. He did the inspection. After he did inspection, he reflected on the things that he needed to do, and after that, he was going to do it. He was going to effect the things that he was going to do. Number one, he inspected. Number two, after inspection, he reflected on what he saw. He said, okay, you, I submit to you. He inspected, he reflected, and then he was going to effect it. 他要做了,明白吗? 先去查了 inspect, 然后他去思考一下, reflect, after that effect, 要做了。 Chris and Denise, extra for you, no need to pay. Inspect, reflect, effect. Came to a point in time, he needed to now challenge the people about what was going to be done. Can you go and to Nehemiah 2, verse 17? Nehemiah 2, 17, then he said to them, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. Instead of rushing, once he reached touchdown in Heathrow Airport and then going straightway build the walls of Heathrow, he didn't. He took his time. He inspected. He was still in a very prayerful mode. A lot of us, sometimes we rush to do something without contemplation. He thinks about it, and when he was ready, he was then ready to tell the people what God had laid in his heart. When he saw the vision, this is what he said. Number one, he told him the facts. You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. That's a fact. When he challenged him, he says, this is the problem. We have this as a problem. What should we do? Formulate. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. And then he wanted to fire them up. He wanted to tell them. I also then, at that point in time, after telling them what the problems and what we should do, I told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. Verse 18 is like Luke 2:52. Lin and Chong Hin, our church is Luke 2:52. 2:52 Agora, favor of God and man. Verse 18, as I read it, is the favor of God and the favor of man. I also told them, meaning that Nehemiah challenged the people who were going to build the walls and the gates. Question, those people who build the walls and gates, are they expert builders? No, they're just your farmers out there in Jerusalem. He was going to challenge them. These are not your civil engineers with a BSc honors or what have you, a work in BCA, nothing of the sort. He challenged them, told them what the problems, formulate the plans for them, fire them up and tell them, I also told them, these people, about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. Gracious hand of my God on me? I think favor of God. Are you with me? And then what the king had said to me. The king is a man. Some of us don't know that. The king is not God. The king is man. Favor of God first, and then favor of man. Isn't that what we need when we do God's work? The favor of God. How do you get the favor of God? When right from day one, Nehemiah, what did he do? He sought God for 120 days. He was talking to God. He was praying to God. He was fasting and praying. He was mourning, not moaning. Mourning is grumbling. Mourning the state of affairs, the terrible, deplorable conditions of Jerusalem. He was talking to God and God was prepping him until the time was ready. God said, now's the time. Engineered it for him to see the king in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. So this is the favor of God on this man. He was then ready to sell the vision. Told the facts, formulated it for him, and he fired them up. And what did they say? They replied, verse 18, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Guys, don't do something that is not good work. Why don't you do something that God didn't call you to do? But when God calls you to do something, give all out. And it's good work. It's something that will glorify God's name. A couple of weeks ago, I was just meeting some of the leaders at my place, and I said, hey, guys, I think let's really pray. I think it's time that we start thinking about baptizing people. People who come to us, we really want to see them coming. What we'll do for baptism is, either Silas or I, at the beginning of service, we put a chair here. Let's say we are baptizing Esther. Esther, please come. Sit her down in front of the whole church. We ask two questions. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you accept Him as your personal Savior? I hope Esther, when it comes, he'll say yes to both. And then we'll sprinkle water, we'll baptize. And Joe will come up with the first baptism cert. People like Joey and Wilson, not baptized yet, right? About time. I know of a few. So this man, as we talk about it, I say, God, I was praying. Suddenly this man texts me yesterday. He says, Daniel, I'm ready to be baptized. I'll spare you the details and the names. Please don't find out. I say, how come suddenly you come to me? I've been reading. I find solace and hope in the Bible teachings. I find myself more in control instead of being lost. And I have this baptized thought for a few months already. I was so encouraged. When we pray to God, when we do God's work, it takes a bit of time for fruition, right? But God will encourage us at the right time. He won't, like, ask you to do something and then let you fall to depression, it completely shut off. No, you won't be broken. But along the way, even if you cast the vision, when you do the things, and when Silas picks up next week, there will be opposition. But along the way, God knows what we need. He will not allow us to fall into a state whereby we lose it. So when this man came, that message, I say, God, thank you. I needed that. And I really want to see that we're able to baptize the people that I have in mind. So cell leaders, please go and talk to all these people and see how we can get this going. I told Joe to speak, and then Silas will do a teaching. And I talking to this man there, I said, let us do a teaching first. It was quite funny. But say, dry run, is it? Full dress. I said, no. Silas will need you to give you the theory. I need people to know the basis. Isn't it make sense? I can't tell Esther, get baptized, just like that. I must tell Esther, Silas will do a half hour, Chris and Denise, let us explain to you why we think you need to be baptized. And after that, then we do the baptism. Pray for us. I expect and I hope to see this done by fourth quarter. And I'll tell you when it happens, I sure will cry. It's a project. Just like we start the church, right? I wouldn't have done it if God didn't tell me to do so. I got better things to do. Trust me, I got better things to do. If not, I do less things. I don't have to do so many things. But kam guan ma. Because God called. Did I tell you that you married well, Winnie? It's Silas kam guan ma. 4:30, come and play guitar. But guess what? When Silas do this thing, you also suffer, no? Because 4:30, you could sit here and then have to scroll whatever. How about everybody say, God, if you have called my husband one flesh and we do something, we do it together. Does it make sense? I've been reading this book, Eight Fools. Even my wife is reading it now. The Eight Immortals of Lee Kuan Yew. Last week I said it is interesting that these are the eight civil servants that Lee Kuan Yew really obviously trusted. But they were called fools. Why are eight immortals fools? They are fools because sometimes it takes a fool to do some of the things we need to do. It takes a fool. Half the people, that's why I've got this dinner. Karen told me it's a dinner, Jolene, this is dinner if I go. I'm not sure whether I want to go because if I go down there, half the world will ask me the same question. Hey, hi, Daniel, how are you doing? Last time you were there, why you left? I feel like, you know what I do, Shireen? I will take my message so that when I go for the dinner, that question, press one. Next question, press two. It's damn tiring. But if that is what it takes sometimes to do something, we're going to do it anyway, right? It takes a fool to do a lot of God's work. Nehemiah was a fool. He's not engineer trained. But as a result of being a cupbearer, when he did all the things, he became a politician. When you sell a vision, guys, that's politics for you, lah. Don't bluff me. When you do something, you sell a vision, it's politics, lah. You're trying to get people to buy in, you know. He also had to become engineer. He also had to become, later when we talk chapter 3 and 4, he also learned how to have warcraft, learn how to tell people how to fight. The enemies are coming, opposition, what to do. He became all things so that he will fulfill the promise of God and to do the work of God and the purpose of God. He became all things. I say this, and please don't think, DG, don't think I hao lian. After I say this, you may still think. Wind came to Wang and said, wow, this Daniel Goh, he's like, are you sure it's not full-time? He talks like better than full-time from whatever country, whatever church I be for. I say, number one, I know. I know. But number two, more importantly, I know because when God calls you to do something, He will equip and anoint you. Not annoy you, He will anoint you. So I step out in confidence. I say, God, if you ask me to do this right, can you please make sure I speak better? Don't let me lao kui, you know. Well, today a lot of Hokkien, lao kui, don't know right? Later talk to Philip. Don't let me lao kui. Let me do something that will bring glory to you. And then I go. Hao Yun Chong was another guy. What's his name? Hao Yun Chong. One of those eight that was trusted by our founding father. There was a debate on the MRT station, whether to build the MRT or to stick to the bus. Ask you now, can you imagine life now without MRT? Let's say all bus and nothing else. That's the decision they had to make. This is what it says. The debate, MRT or bus, was as intense as the Changi Airport. Perhaps even more. Lee Kuan Yew and then Finance Minister Horn were the referees, said one of the civil servants in the speech. The pro-bus camp countered the congestion argument by suggesting underground roads. The pro-bus people say, why don't we build underground roads? The pro-MRT retorted that a subterranean solution would suit MRT just fine. Both sides got American consultants to back up the proposals. At one point, the fight got so heated, this is quite funny, that even the spiritual was used as an argument. Listen to this. Herman Hochstadt, permanent secretary in the Ministry of Communications from 72 to 75, said that a pro-bus minister, those who wanted bus, this minister said, Singapore is a largely Chinese population. The Chinese will not want to go travel underground because of superstition. So he argued, hey, pro-bus, you know what should pro-bus? Chinese, you think this Chinese fellas underground, sway one, you know. So I thought it was quite funny. Hao said, the finance ministry can have a bus-based system if you're prepared to ban all other traffic from the roads during peak hours. That's what he said. He worked to expand the country's landmass, and one of it would luckily become the pro-MRT group's trump card. He strongly believed in land reclamation. Remember last time, all of us older ones used to work Shenton Way, right? On the left side is where the Yakun is. Remember the hawker center? What's that? Transit. Transit hawker center. All those who don't know one, that means you are very young. Shereen, don't bluff. You know one. When you enter Shenton Way, on the left side where you see Marina Bay side, last time there used to be a transit hawker center. Lin, right? Transit hawker center where the former Yakun original is there. Right? Silas, remember we first started? Karen also know because Karen and I same vintage. Gan, don't know. Don't bluff. You also should know. Don't know, it's because ignorant, not because they are young. Down there, all the hawker center, the trump card was when they needed to reclaim that part. When they needed to reclaim Marina South. Marina South was meant to be an expanded central business area. But it became clear to urban planners, there's only one road into the new downtown. Without the MRT, it would be difficult to develop Marina South. If Marina South development is intensified without the MRT, this bottleneck would experience intolerable traffic congestion. So said Minister Ong Teng Cheong, as he was at that time. And because of that alone, the MRT began operations in Singapore in 1987. And today, the correlation between its station and property prices is clear to see. You have MRT station, you have your house beside MRT station, you win already. And isn't it now almost the roadmap? We're having more and more MRT stations. It's almost like we want to be like London. Anywhere you go, you're within MRT. Well, it can't be 100%, but as much as you can. Lee Hsien Loong gave credit to Hao for changing how Singaporeans travel every day. He said, Mr. Hao also played a key role in the development of the MRT station. He was strongly in favor of the MRT as the backbone of a public transport, arguing against, you know who was pro-bus? Dr. Goh Keng Swee, who advocated a more economical all-bus alternative. The government eventually decided to build the MRT, and the outcome today has shown that Mr. Hao was one of the rare persons to prove Mr. Goh Keng Swee mistaken on something. Sometimes when we do God's work, you have opposition, right? But you must state your case. But along the way, as you state your case, it's interesting. When you state your case, suddenly the Marina South, that part, want to reclaim the land, but no inroads. So what to do? MRT. So that's another factor that move it towards. Any one of us here, can you imagine no MRT? I tell you, we die, man. Correct? But that was the discussion, because at the time, I don't know how many billions if you needed to build the MRT. But one of the 8 cupbearers, if you ask me, of Lee Kuan Yew, stood up, stood his ground, knew his facts, state the case, and he won. Pro-bus, bring up superstition, hey, underground, no good. And then Dr. Goh Keng Swee also pro-bus, because maybe they say, too much money, why don't we just build a bus system cheaper? I can understand, but we've seen the results for itself. I can't imagine a life without MRT as we speak. Can you? That's Hao Yun Chong for you, doing what he needed to do. Sold the vision, stood his ground, believed in something, didn't let go. Show the slide, please, Philip. Next slide. This is Jordan Peterson, someone who's also read, very, very intelligent man. Clinical psychologist, I think. Based in Canada, goes around the world, people want to listen to him. I'm still not sure what his spiritual inclinations fully are, but that's a debate for another day. But can I say something to you? I was just asking Royston in the leaders' meeting. You know, as believers, all truth is God's truth, right? Is it possible that we learn from even people who are pre-believers? Possible? Can, right? Some people cannot know. If, for example, you believe in no gods, you can't listen to, if you say I'm atheist, I can't believe God, you cannot take a lot of things. But for us, as long as whatever we learn, even from other people, is not against our God's truth, we are fine. Can we have the perimeter? So Jordan Peterson, for whatever it is, to me, when I read, brilliant man, and I like this, I've never met anyone who was satisfied when they knew they were not doing everything they should be doing. Isn't that what life should be? I've never met anyone, he says, and he's not 20 years old, he's whatever age he is. Seen so many people, so many clients. Never met anyone who's satisfied. Are you satisfied when you know deep down there's some things you need to do but you didn't do? Can we be totally honest? I don't think you will be, you know. Huh, Luther? Will you be satisfied? Luther today called me at 10 a.m. I was thinking, wow, Luther called me, what happened? And then she wanted to immediately introduce a person to me. But Luther was introduced by, was it Clarissa? Clarissa was, all these people kepo, either the taxi passenger or taxi driver. Clarissa was in the taxi, then Luther was the driver, right? Then Luther was injured. Clarissa, okay, why don't you call Daniel Goh? Apparently quite a good lawyer, so they say. And then Luther started to see me, and now he's in church. And today Luther called me in the morning and said, call me, must be something big. I was thinking, don't tell me you got second accident. Luther, yes. Then he said, hey, can you wait for a while? Can you talk to my passenger? And then ask me to talk to this passenger. And I'm seeing the passenger on Wednesday, and I'll be helping the passenger, I hope, for his claim. But do you know what I'll do after talking to him about law and his claim? What else will I do? I'll invite him to church. You will never be satisfied until you do what deep down in your spirit God has asked you to do. If you're totally honest, that's life. And if it's going to cost you nothing, don't do lah. It costs something for people like Sinus Kai at 4:30. Affect not only him, but the wife sit here some more. But as we all serve God, I was just telling Joe, and with this, we introduce the person who will come and give us a 5-minute testimony. When we do God's work, something changes. The way we look at things, our generosity, our ability to serve, our desire to do God's work, something changes. I'm going to introduce this man. In fact, I'm supposed to start with him. I don't know why. I talk, and then I forgot. And then now I look at him, I remember. This guy has a lot of shoes. After Mrs. Imelda Marcos and Winnie, he's got the most number of shoes. Apparently, he's got so many shoes that the children always say, how come you got so many shoes? And then his shoes are all kinds of shoes. But let me introduce this guy called Leon. Can we introduce? And then just come, can we welcome him? Leon will give a testimony. Do you have a mic? Do you have a mic? Well, I'll take your own mic all. Huh? Very smart. Huh? Come.
Hi, church. My name is Leon. My wife is June. Yeah. June also serving. Daniel told me a few weeks back that I need to come up and share testimony. So I just willingly say yes. So it's the same thing when he told me to, hey, Leon, I think he called me one day. I was at work. And I was, sorry, how come Daniel called me? So I just picked up the call. He texted me. Then he called me and said, Leon, we need someone to do the audio video. Can you come in and help? And I don't know why, I just willingly accept. And I say, yeah, let's do it. Because I'm not an audiovisual person. I have a lot of things to learn from Philly and Faith when I first hands on. Yeah, so thank God I managed to pick it up for the last few weeks. My masters are good. The disciple also not too bad. I learn also quite fast. So I thank you, my masters. Yeah, sitting down there taking my video now. Yeah, feeling a bit awkward, but I think it's fine. Yeah, so I want to give testimony for God. I know God become a Christian for almost 20 years when I was in poly. Yeah, and when I know God, I also know Clarissa. Clarissa was so-called my junior back then. When I was in year three, she's in year... No, in year two, she's in year one. Yeah, back then in Nanyang Poly. So that was when I know God, and I served God in junior ministry before, in the former church. I was actively coming to church, backslided a bit when I was in army days. So God was faithful and good. But this, He also blessed me with a wonderful family. That when I was praying for a wife, He blessed me with a wife. Yeah, it took quite a while. Yeah, you ask Jun, she will know. She will tell you something about this Leon. He's a blockhead. Yeah, for 3 years. Yeah. Try very long. Then suddenly, God tucked his heart. Then finally the years came. Yeah, so it's a long story. It's a long story. So, but that's not what I'm going to share today. So I want to thank God for when we married, the time before we even formally get married, we were praying for a house. Yeah, that time was we were balloting for BTO. We got quite a good number. We can get quite a good friend. Miss selection, we can actually ballot for a very high floor. But back then, because of obedience, God tell us, hey, you need to let go because you haven't seek the pastor's permission to go in ballot flat. How can you go in ballot flat behind his back, right? So God, cannot do this. So it was very nearing to our wedding day then. We were praying, we were in church, we were praying. Then when we go back that day, on the same day itself, we was asking God, you need to bless us. This is like, we're going to get married, we don't have a house. So when we are on our way back, we saw this establishment built up and there was a show house, show flat. So we're going there, what is this, man? It's near my house. So we went and it was, hey, this looks weird. HDB usually don't have show flat, man. So we went in and see it's a DBSS, design and build scheme. So I don't know what is this. So June went and searched DBSS, something new. So we went to show flat and we went to see, and the people was very forthcoming. We say we need a flat and show us the thing. Hey, everything looks very nice. And we got the number. We came in to select the flat, and there's like financial consultant see whether you are able to buy the flat. So you will say, all within our financial means. So I think cannot be, God is so good. So we were called, we were given a number, we call, and we really got a flat, and we were to select a flat. So we also prayed. Thank God, if it is really you, we pray for a level 5, not too high, level 5, because back then my parents is level 5. I also think next time the lift break down, you climb so high, just climb level 5, can't really, So, God really bless us. The guy in front, we will see the number of flags being selected. Basically, from 16 all the way down, left level 6 and below. So left the 1-6, I say, June, maybe we should try level 6. But we were in the queue, the guy right in front of us took level 6. So no more level 6, was level 5. So immediately at that point in time, we know, God, this is your house. You blessed us with. No argument. Very specific prayer. So you must try this and you must challenge God. Not challenge God. Challenge God in prayers. He will answer to your needs. So we really thank God for the flat. So don't move the house. Don't move. Yeah, so it's a flat that God bless us with. Cannot anyhow shift house one. Yeah, cannot shift bigger house for now. Yeah. So this is my testimony. I want to thank God for his faithfulness in my life. Yeah. Pass the mic back to you.
So can I just confirm, you guys, you all had a number then, you all felt it was not right because you didn't tell the pastor, that kind of thing, is it? So you all gave up the number. I picked that up, I'm hearing for the first time. So when they, and just to, I suppose, firm up the story, so witness, please confirm, that whatever you wanted to get, you didn't get because you found that you didn't tell the pastor it was not right, so you gave up that number. And then you happened to go to this DBSS scheme and then found this. Do you catch that? They were prepared to forego what if nobody knows. Actually, sometimes the pastor don't know everything. Right? You do something behind the person's back, nobody knows, right? But if they did that, they would not be satisfied when they knew they were not doing everything they should be doing. Because they knew they should, double negative, they should not have taken the number without the blessing of the pastor. They're prepared to let it go. They were not satisfied. I didn't know this would be ending this way, but God engineered it. They were prepared to let go. But when you prepare to let go, God opened that door to the DBSS thing, which you knew nothing about. Just walk in, ask for the fifth floor, the person right in front, number six. Even if you want number six, you can't get, it's the fifth floor, not the fourth, not the sixth, but the fifth. What a wonderful testimony. Isn't that the God we serve as we come before Him? Look at those people, even the civil servants. Sometimes you need to fight for something. And when we keep talking about Nehemiah, it is someone that is imbued with the calling and the vision that God has given. Like Abraham, also I'm sure they know that when they do something like this, it is going to be a difficult task. It is going to cost them a lot. In verse 2, chapter 9, when we first talk about the opposition, there are only two names, and I'll leave it as that. Sambalat and the other guy, come, remember his name, Tobiah or something. By the time you go to the end of chapter 2 into verse 3, the opposition names were three. 50% uptick in opposition, even before you start. But if you've been called by God and God is on your side, you'll do it anyway. I like the spirit of Leon. I just called him. I said, can you do sound? He's like Nehemiah, right? Does he look like a sound engineer? Actually, the person, if I want to talk sound, should be you knowing. And maybe win next time. You don't think what come to church. Your EP is EP work, come to church, come to sell, do sound. That's your EP definition. These are the people who should be doing sound. Leon. Leon is zero. And then got people, the slave driver, Philip and Faith is very nice, we all know. But he learns everything because what? He's humble. You married well. You know what? Next week, Silas will talk further. But as we come to the end of this service, I want us to pray. Is God challenging us? Are there things in our life that we know God has called? Are there things we know we need to do? Because there are some things in our life God is calling you, you should be doing something about. It could be your work. It could maybe the way you practice. It could be the company. It could be something is not right. Just like June and don't talk about when they knew that asking for the number without blessing a pastor was not right, they forgo it. Is there something that you need to get right with God? Be it for your company, your personal life, there's some things that may be bugging you, but today God is reminding you. Is there something that we need to get right? Are we going to be like Nehemiah, that someone who once called, knowing the opposition, I ask the musicians to come step forward now as we come before the Lord. Are there things that we know that we need to get right, even as we come before God? Let us just prepare our spirit as we come. I'm going to ask Esther to lead us in some, in a couple of songs of worship. And then we will end this service. Be in a prayerful heart. I pray that God is speaking to you for young and old. Come before the Lord. As you hear today, already the third week into the book of Nehemiah, chapters 1 and 2. Is God speaking to you? Is God leading you to do something for Him? Doesn't have to be build a city, but is God challenging you
in terms of the things you need to do for him and doing it in his way. And for some of you, your project, the God challenge you could well be baptism. It's God challenge you to say, I know your problems with your family. If you are the one to get baptized, you have your generation above you that are not believers. We all have that problems. Trust me, you're not the only one. I had a problem too. But when you do something for God, that thing actually is for yourself. But when you do it for and behind the name of God, you're clinging onto God. Trust God. He will open doors. You engineer a way. I want to speak to those who need to be baptized. When you come to be baptized, you are sending a public declaration. God, I'm your child. I want to be identified with the family. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Esther to just lead us.
Let's pray. Let's look to the Lord, and I'd like to invite all of us to just stand up as we worship the Lord. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, may your words that are spoken through our pastor, our elder, be the words of the Holy Spirit that will tuck in our hearts. Lord, you are the one who propel us to come to you. And I know that today, you are the Holy Spirit is in our midst. Gently, gentle, and our comforter. As you stand up, I just want to just invite you to just open up your hands if there is things that you are not satisfied, God has called you, and you feel that, oh, there's some burden in your heart. I just want to invite you to just surrender this to our Abba Father, because his yoke is easy. Christ's yoke is easy. Father, we thank you again. Lord, you are good, Lord. You are so good. And we give thanks to you, Lord Father. And come and comfort and come and minister to your children right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord.
Even as Esther's going to start, and as you worship, I want you to just respond. And we come to the end of the chapter, Nehemiah 2:18. They say, let us start rebuilding. So they began the good work. But when Sambalat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Jisham, the Arab, heard about this, they mocked and ridiculed us, Nehemiah and the rest. What is this you are doing? They say, are you rebelling against the king? Verse 20, and we call for ministry. Nehemiah answered them by saying, the God of heavens will give us success.
Amen.
We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim inheritance. Keyword, Nehemiah says in answer, the God of heavens will give us success. Success in rebuilding the walls and the gates of Jerusalem, despite the clear opposition you see in Nehemiah chapter 2. I want you to come forward. Is there some people weighing, you're starting a company? Come forward. Commit the company to the Lord together with Wayne. There's some of you who need to be baptized. I want you to come forward and say, God, I may have some opposition, even to baptism. God, can you help me? I want you to come forward. And then as we come before the Lord, understand this, the God of heavens will give us success. At this point in time, Nehemiah was not the cupbearer, but he was speaking now as the governor of Judea. That is the God that we serve. He will promote us, He will equip us, and will give the boldness to us as we serve Him. As Esther begins to lead us, I want those who need to be prayed for, I want you to come. There are people who need to think about baptism. Ask God to help you. And there are people who started a company, anyone else, even could be the young fellows behind. Is there anything that God is calling you? Maybe you're doing something that is new. I want you to come forward. It will be a time for ministry. Esther, please.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. body bound, his body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still.
lift up your hands before the Lord as you bring the end this church service to the end. I want to pray for some people. There's some people, Jolene, there's Joey and Wilson, those who have not been baptized. This is not a threat. This is not a compulsion. But I want to pray for you as you come forward that God will open your hearts. So if there's any opposition, God will help you. Can I invite you to come forward? Come, Joey, Wilson, even Clarissa, your mother-in-law, will you come forward? Chris and Denise, I want you to come. Just come forward. Just to be prayed for, and may the Lord do something. And there are some people who are going to start a job on Monday. I won't tell you who you are, but will you come forward? I want KM to come forward as well. Just ask the Lord to bless. Auntie, 谢谢你. 当你下来的时候, 我们信主, 我们教主, 给他的恩膏赐给他, 我们的平安. Will you come forward? People like Brian, is there a need to come forward? Cell leaders, will you just come forward? We need to take some people. TG, come forward. Who else? Jolene, come and pray. I want you to lay your hands upon this couple and we bring this service to an end. I want us to pray. God, pray for young men here from Oxford. Starts work on a Monday. Can you lift your hands before the Lord? I want you to pray something. God, if you're asking me to do something for you, touch my heart. Speak to me. That's all I ask for you. Is that okay? And then will God. And for people like Win and Wing, you've just started a job. I want to pray for you. You'll be godly marketplace people. Ken, you will be a Christian very fast. I tell you first, you will be. Employment pass and Christianity come together. As you believe in God, God is going to bless you. All right? I want us to pray and ask Gun and the rest to pray. Just start praying for them and I'm going to bring the service to an end. Come pray. Winnie, can you just pray for them, their business? Can we lift our hands as we bring this worship to the service to the end? You know, the song says, I worship you, Father, I lift up my hands standing unashamed. There's no shame in the gospel. Whatever you have done wrong, God forgives. We understand that as we come before God, look, do I look perfect? I am as imperfect as any of us, but we're saved by grace. As we come before the Lord, I lift up my hands standing unashamed. As we end this service, I want you to lift your hands and it's prophetic. You stand unashamed before the gospel. I worship the Father, exalting the name of the Lord. You've captured my heart. Why did Nehemiah do what he did? Because God captured his heart. When God captures your heart, you will do anything for him. I want you to pray that. So despite the opposition, whatever it is, may God capture your heart so you do the work of His kingdom. Are you ready to pray? And for those helpers, I thank God for you. I've never said it before, but there are a lot of helpers who have come for service. Thank God for you. Without you, our house will be in shambles. Thank God for you. Can we lift our hands before the Lord, whatever it may be? Father, thank you. Thank you for those who have come. Lord, bless the company. Bless the couple. Bless even Auntie here. As they come beyond just the language, speak to them in the spirit, capture their heart so that, Lord, they will give their life to you. For those who are starting a job on Monday, Lord,
May they be the marketplace minister to do the work of your kingdom. Lord, let him flourish so that he will bring many people to the knowledge of Christ and to church. Lord, thank you for those who are prepared to be baptized. Speak to them, bless them. We look to the day when they give their life to Jesus in front of all of us. Father, thank you. We bless you. We pray all this until we meet again. May the Lord's hand be upon you. May the blood of Jesus cover you. May there be testimonies in your life so that you will know, and you will know that as God has captured your heart, you are right smack in the will of God, doing His work for His kingdom and His kingdom alone. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. We see you next week. God bless you. I want you to... DJ.